been an awful lot that has gone into, and I'm not just talking the last year or two of planning and prepping as a church and seeking God's will, but I'll share later after Dan's done today, there's a lot more that's gone into getting to this day than just the last year or two and what we've done as a church. That's actually only a small thing. All we've done is seek the Lord for what He's already been doing and where He wants to go. And it's just a magnificent thing to be able to be in that spot and to take a step back for a second and realize that God has big plans, not just for our church, but for His kingdom. He says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And that you can't get any more sure than that. He said, I am going to build my church, and it doesn't matter what goes on around that. It's going to go forward. And as a church, we're just joining in with Him in that, and that's a powerful thing. And sometimes it can take the pressure off us a little bit and recognize that it's back on Him to get things done. And we're just trying to cooperate with Him. Dan, you can come on up. Dan is here this morning. He's our overseer. He's lastly, what is that? Is we really believe that it's important as a church that we don't become so self-centered and ingrown, if you will, that we do everything all on our own. It's important for us to have outside resourcing and outside voices that can help us speak into our life as a church and are there for important decisions and choices and those kinds of things. And Dan has been serving in that role for a while now. And we're grateful to have him be able to come today,
Amen.
Be a part here. We had a leadership retreat at Beaver Camp Friday night into Saturday. Dan ministered to the leadership team yesterday morning in a powerful time. And so we've asked him to come back again this morning and deliver a message and be a part of the formal installation of Jeff and Sarah as associate pastor couple and Kurt and Mallory and Diesel and Katie Hitt as far as elders. But I want to pray for Dan,
Amen.
And turn him thank loose you. On us.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our brother Dan. We thank you, Lord, that for first off, the gifting and skills and abilities that you placed in him, knowing, Lord, that we as a church would need those things in our formational things, Lord. And Lord, we want you to show up today. Mm-hmm. We want your presence. We believe you're already here and you want to be a part of that. We welcome your presence this morning. We welcome your giftings and abilities and your Holy Spirit presence through your vessel, Dan, this morning, Lord. I pray that you give him great freedom and great liberty to hear your voice. Already he's done that, but even in the moment, Lord, and then to share the truth as you placed on his heart, Lord. Give us open hearts to receive what you have for us in that grace gift that's in Dan. And we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Hey, guys, how we doing? I actually preached on that scripture last time I was here. Kyle, I don't think you were here about the gates of hell. And we learned about being guarders of the gate. You remember that? Have you been guarding the gates and actually looking at what gates might be open in our society and understand that God has given you the keys of the church, not the senators, not the president, not our democracy, not America, but the church of Jesus Christ? That's so important for us to understand. It's a position of faith, but it's also a position of power. So, you know, this phrase came to me to share with you. I'm not sure if this would be the title of the sermon. I feel like I want to preach the whole Bible to you today. What am I going to do? Amen? I just feel like there's so much that the Lord wants to say. And in fact, I think one of the things I would say is today's message, or what I feel God is wanting to say, is so absolutely wonderful. It's so amazing that it's almost too good to be true, but it's true. What God has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ, that He's taken us from a life that was literally going to be destroyed because of our sin, and has rescued us, and now has destinated us to live with Him forever. And so we're actually in practice right now of being eternal beings, that we've been born again. And so the phrase I was thinking about is the kingdom of God on display. The kingdom of God on display. And we've had a couple services where we actually have called that the name of the service, because in that service what we did is we had people come up that got born again, that were lost, and they went through a foundations class. They began to understand a little bit of what had happened to them, and they would testify that they had received this salvation. And then we would preach the gospel to people and share the salvation, and then we had water baptism, and then we had communion. And all of these things are not, again, in our government, they're not in the America that we live in. That's not my citizenship first. My citizenship and your citizenship is in heaven. Are you excited about going to heaven? I said, are you excited about going to heaven? See, the Bible says that we are to fan into flame, that we are to stir up our emotions about these things, because that's what we really should be excited about. And so I'm going to go to two portions of Scripture today. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and also Revelations chapter 5. And I'm going to start by reading a scripture that we're going to probably land on at the end of this, because the cool thing about the kingdom of God being on display today, saints, is that what we are doing is very biblical and very spiritual and very powerful. And you should, as a church, you should step back and say, wow, maybe you've never seen elders placed into position in the church. Number one, they were placed there according to the Word of God, first by the Holy Spirit, that God called them, and the pastor and the leadership recognized that, and the congregation recognized that. But these men and women are gifts from God to you. Be careful how you treat the gift. Amen? But they are gifts to the church, and they have certain functions and anointings and authority to help you grow in your faith. And then the other thing is, we're actually installing an associate or assistant pastor today and laying hands on him. So we're not reading some kind of clergy thing over them and some kind of hocus pocus that we think is going to work for them. But the Bible says that we are to separate them in front of you. So in other words, in the spirit today, God wants you to see these men and women getting a badge from God, so that when they speak, you don't treat them just like anyone else, but you understand that God has placed them in a position. You think about when you're dealing with your children, if they would listen to their teachers more, they would listen to their dad or their mom. Or they listen to society more than they would listen to their cousins and those people that are blood family, those that really are concerned about them. So that whole idea, that's part of what accountability is. Learning to eat the recipe, no matter who the first person is, but recognizing those people that God has placed into the church. And once you do, you turn on the connection of faith. You can turn it off, you know, when you won't receive somebody because of maybe they look like your old social study teacher, or they look like somebody that wasn't really that nice, or maybe you knew their family or somebody in their family line offended you, and so you won't open your heart. The whole thing about even receiving the gospel today is an open heart. Do you have the switch on? Say, Lord, I don't know what this crazy Dan's going to say today, but I'm sitting on the edge of my seat because I'm not looking for Dan to speak to me. I'm looking for you to speak through an unperfect man or an imperfect man, because your gospel is perfect and you want to reach to me. So there's something I was sharing with Kyle. One of the things that I've noticed about the leadership in this church, which I'm very excited about, is the humility. That has been the biggest problem with churches, whether it's a pastor or an elder, arrogance and pride, where they think they're something. And really, in the Bible, the way up is always down. And when you humble yourself, don't be fooled by their quietness. Don't be fooled by their humility, because in the spirit, that is very powerful. Amen? I could prophesy this over Jeff and Sarah today, so I just give you, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. So it's the saturation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the connection that we have with God. So this scripture is going to be where we're going to come back to, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. And I'm actually going to read verse 10 first and then come back to 9. I'm dyslexic. Who once were not a people, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Then go back to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you called into his marvelous light today? Is that where your heart is? Is that where your focus is? Now, I want to go to Revelations just for a minute in chapter 5. And Revelations is a tremendously confusing book. Can you say amen? But I want you to tell, I want to tell you that this is a gospel, if you will. Revelations was written not by John, it was written by the Apostle John, but he was dictated to by heaven. And so if you read Revelations, you're talking, what are they talking about? All these signs and these wonders and explosions and beasts and elders and crowns and breakout into worship and all this. What you're seeing is what looks confusing to you and I, but you're seeing a picture into the spirit realm. Did you know there's a spirit realm? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The battle is in the invisible. So what's happening is the Holy Spirit and also Jesus, and also we have some brothers involved in writing this that are in heaven, and we also have some angels involved in writing this book. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. And so when you, what God is trying to show us, he's showing us what happened in the background of what I just said, how God has made you a royal priesthood, how God chose you, how God has made you special to him, how God has separated you to him, and that you have a destiny, that you were once a people that did not have God as your destiny, but now you are people that has God as their destiny. So we're looking into heaven. Did you know we're all heading to heaven? We're all headed to a place, if you're born again today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're going to live forever. You're eternal beings. Woo! Eternal. And I'm thankful for a new body. Can you say amen? Us that are getting a little bit older. Didn't mean to look at you, Lauren. But here's, this is such a sobering thing. Can you grab a hold of this, chapter 5? I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, and it was sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming the voice with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much. Now I'm going to pause for a minute. He didn't just shed a tear. He was pouring his soul out because he understood what that meant. That scroll was what God always intended for you and for me. It was, if you will, the will of God for mankind. It was destroyed because we fell into sin. And no religion and no form of religion and no goodness that would ever be in any man or any woman would ever be able to have the spiritual clout or the power to go over to that which has now been sealed and lost forever. No one in heaven and no one in earth had the clout to go up and say, I'm going to release Dan, I'm going to release Lauren, I'm going to release all of these people that will believe in me from this death. John understood that. It would be like, and I hope this doesn't has not happened to anybody, I understand this because a pastor deals with life and for death. It would be like having a child, because we all pass away, but having a child that you love, it happened to my brother Rick, and going to the doctor, and the doctor's got this long face. And I remember Rick telling me, the doctor saying to him about David, who's a nephew of mine that is with Jesus now. He said, your son is very, very sick. And my brother wept. John wept. Jesus wept. When he thinks about what you could be, what he intended for you to be, and when John thinks about that and he looks at your life and he sees it stalled out and trapped and no way out, he wept. You know, the tears of heaven weep for you this morning if you're still in that trapped place. God wants to set you free. I wept much, verse 4, because there was no one found worthy to open and to read the scroll or to look in it. But, would you say but? Aren't you glad for God's buts? But, but, one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals." Do you know who that is? Anybody know what his name is? You can say it louder. We're in church. We won't be arrested. Jesus! Okay, Jesus, we studied about that yesterday as your leadership. Jesus, the God-man, but also of the seed of David. Jesus, who is absolutely God, but he's also absolutely man. He's the perfect lawyer. He's the one that no one else was worthy to open this, but Jesus, the perfect God, and also man, came, and he was able, it says in verse 6, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into the earth. Then he came," the lamb came, "and he took the scroll in his right hand, and he sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the book, the scroll, and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth forever.'" Woo! That's what Jesus did for you when he took that book. So let's now go back to Peter again. It says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called unto God. So what Jesus has done for you and I, we should be different than everybody on the face of the earth. Okay? So he starts in chapter 2 in verse 1. Let me just do a little background here. Like I said, the whole Bible, guys. Are you ready? Take notes. The whole Bible, I feel like I want to share. So the chapter 1, he talks about the fact that God... This is Peter, and Peter is the apostle that was called to the Gentiles. That's you and I. We weren't Jewish. We didn't have all the background that a Jewish person had. And so he's a special apostle called to them. And now he's writing a letter to you folks here. Is this Adams or Adams Center? Yeah. It's both Old and New Testament. Okay. What is it? Adams? It's Grace Community Church. So he's writing a letter to you guys because you once were not a people, but now you're the people of God. And he's trying to inform you about what God has taken you out of and what God has taken you into. You know, some of us seem like we're caught in the middle. We got one foot. On Monday we're a Christian, on Tuesdays we're not. In this situation we act like a Christian, in this situation we don't. But Peter is saying, hey, you've been called out of all of that. That stuff's gone. You need to now focus and pursue because God has made you to be kings and priests unto God. You are now God's people. You are now God's possession. You were bought with a great price. You belong to Him. And he begins to, if you will, like a coach, begin to encourage them that they have been birthed into. I was reading about this morning. This thing that we are in right now is called the New Covenant. You can compare that to the Old Covenant, but what the New Covenant actually means is it's new every morning. Has your Christianity gotten stale? Maybe you need to go back to Jesus and say, you know, this is not New Testament stale Christianity. This is fresh every morning. Aren't you glad His tender mercies are new every morning? There's been days I'm sure I wore out all the mercies for that day. But every morning I can get up. Your tender mercies are new every morning. God wants you to know that the New Testament, the rebirth that God has placed in you, it helped me actually understand something, Kyle, because I'm 65, but I feel like I got born again yesterday. It's still that new. It's still that exciting. Hey, I've been through many dangers, toils, and snares, but I'm still excited about Jesus because it's the new. And with God, this New Testament never gets old. It never gets old. It's new. So the first thing he talks about, and he talks about then that if you are in Christ, guess what? You don't get a free ride. Don't you wish sometimes that when you became a Christian that nothing would ever go wrong again? Has there anybody in this place that has found that to be true? Actually, everything goes wrong that goes wrong with everybody. God has taken you out of the world system, but then he sends you back into the world system to deal with many of the same things that the world deals with as a demonstration of what happens when a man of God does not hate, does not swear, does not become substance abuse, does not commit adultery, does not become angry. They look at you and you're not running the same engine that they are running all of their life. What has happened to you? You've been born again and God will test you. Joanne and I were talking on the way here today, and we've all said this, what would you do today if you didn't have Jesus? There's thousands upon thousands, millions of people around the world right now that are dealing with this chaos. And not only the chaos of this epidemic, but at the chaos of the politics and the chaos of all the hate that's going back and forth. How would you like to have to deal with hating somebody without Jesus? It would consume you. I've met people later on in their life, and their whole life, they've lived with this concept of I will repay. I am the Lord. I am filled with rage and anger. If you hurt me, I'm going to find a way to hurt you. That's what the world does. But guess what? People hurt you, Christian. People betray you, Christian. People lie about you and cheat you and talk behind your back, Christian. People don't treat you right at work, Christian. But Peter says, the testing of your faith is more precious than anything you can imagine. When you're pressed, when you're wrung out, what comes out? Maybe you're dealing with something right now and you might think you deserve to act like the world has always acted. I want to tell you that Peter says, hey, all that's happening to you is God's going to see how you're going to react. And if you will react Christian, if you will react as now a new creation, that humility will defeat that thing. You might not see it necessarily in your lifetime. You might not see it instantly, but that will happen to you. Here's another really cool thing. I told you it's the whole Bible. He talks about in chapter 1 about, he says, hey, you know what happened to you? It was prophesied by the prophets hundreds of years ago. And somehow it says the prophets in the Bible were inspired by the Spirit of Christ. And they would say things that they had no reference to. They didn't understand what they were saying. But Peter says the Holy Spirit revealed to them the reason that they didn't understand what was going on thousands of years ago when they prophesied that, behold, I will send a light to the world, that I will send a Messiah. His name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, that he would be the Savior. They're prophesying to Grace Community Church. Hello! They were speaking in the Old Testament about a day that you and I are living in. I get excited. You guys just seem to hold right in there, but I just get excited about that, that God knew that I was going to be born. And even the fact that I'm born on this side of the cross, and I get to realize the fullness of forgiveness of sins and the fullness of having the Spirit God not just hit me, but live in me. And the fullness of being living in a generation where I have the history of God, and we've been so equipped to do all that God has called us to. You know how he did it? He didn't buy it with silver. He didn't buy you with gold. He didn't buy you by you doing good works. The Bible says, Peter says, you were not redeemed with silver or gold, but you were redeemed by the precious blood, the Lamb that he saw in Revelation that stood before the throne as a lamb that had been slain. Went over to the lawyer, went over to the will of God, went over to the heritage of what God has always wanted for you. And he was worthy, and he grabbed that, and he began to break the seals and begin to bring God back into your life and begin to bring the destiny of eternity into your life. Not silver or gold. Not by my good works. But I stand completely free because of a sacrifice that was separate from me, because of blood that was separate from my blood was shed for me. And this heaven that we were reading about in chapter 5, this glorious state that we can't even grasp because it's so much beyond us, we will be holy and acceptable because of the blood of the Lamb. You know another thing that you were called to? You were called to love one another. He says that in chapter 1. He said that the fervent love that you will have now for one another. You know, I love people in my family pretty easy. Have you ever noticed that it really there's not a whole lot that your kids could ever do that would ever make you say or ever turn off the love clock inside of you where you'd say, I'm not going to love you anymore. You love them and they do some crazy stuff. And they love you and you do some crazy stuff. But you're a little bit harder for me to love. I don't always think the best of you. Somebody couldn't tell me anything bad about my kids. I just wouldn't receive it. But people could tell me things about you. But I think what God has done is he placed people so close to you to show you the power of love that covers a multitude of sins. And then the Pepsi challenge is begin to love people that you are not related to, that don't come maybe from the same DNA pool, that don't act the way you were brought up to acting, and all of a sudden they come in. But Peter's saying, listen, you left all of that stuff, and now I call you to love one another. Love is active. Love is choosing. Amen. Then the last thing in chapter 1, he said, because everything in this world is passing away. Everything in this world is passing away. So chapter 2, he says, so laying aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, let me slow that, go back, because we went too religiously fast here. Therefore, in other words, because of everything Pastor Dan just shared you as a summary of chapter 1, because of all of that, you lay aside all that you used to do, all malice, all the deceit and manipulation that we used to do. Hypocrisy can be the old language. All that you used to say, an actor is someone that reads lines, and you were programmed by sin to say certain things and do certain things when certain things happen to you. Hypocrisy, you get rid of all of those lines. You throw the script out. Envy. You're not jealous about one another, but you actually, you know, today we're supposed to be rejoicing for these brothers and sisters that are being promoted before us. We should be absolutely excited for them. Some people, even Christians, cannot get excited when somebody else gets something that they thought they should have, or maybe they don't deserve, but that's not what it says. Get rid of all envy. And envy is in the church. It's learning to promote other people and recognizing if God promoted that person, I promote them in my heart. I put them in that place and I start receiving from them. You know, sometimes God will send somebody that just irritates you to speak the word of the Lord to you. Here I am, send me. Did you know that? Sometimes the Lord will use the very type of person that just rubs you the wrong way because he's trying to deal with you about something in your heart as well as giving you the word of the Lord. That's enough about that. So as newborn babes, we desire the pure milk of the word. What does the pure milk of the word mean? My wife, I love you, Joanne. I really do, honey. But she's always trying to take care of me. She's very fussy about what I eat. It seems like everything that tastes good, she doesn't want me to have. But that's my problem. I'm an American. I like things that I shouldn't eat. But she, when I buy something, a lot of times what she'll say to me, did you read the label? No, I just know that macaroni and cheese tastes wonderful. Well, read the label, Dan. It's filled with all of these things that are hurting you. It still tastes good, though. What God is saying is, there is all kinds of junk that you eat in this world. There's all kinds of living. There's all kinds of philosophies. Hear me now. That you will adapt into your life, but if you read the label, apart from God, they are poison. They might, you know, sin, the Bible says, has pleasure. Sin is fun. Huh? Sin is pleasurable. But if you read the label, the wages of sin is it will kill something in your life. But the Word of God, when you read the label, all it says is pure, holy, unadulterated, no shadow of turning. There's nothing in that word that will hurt you. It will bring life. That's what he's talking about. Be honest and let the Word of God be the Word of God in your life. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. So let's just come back now and finish up with what the kingdom of God is displaying today and what you are and what I am and begin to embrace that. Back to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. We are in a time right now, guys, where I'm trying to think the word, how they call it. Identity. There's identity politics. And so what we do is we class all the black people, all the Mexican people, all the church people in the one class. And maybe you've been guilty of this where you've criticized the church and you said, you know, the church needs to rise up and the church isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. And I hear Christians do that all the time, and I really want to stop them and say, you know, the problem with the church is you're in it. Because don't you point the finger at the church. You say you're a Christian. You're part of it, and you're defeating it and speaking. You've lumped everybody into your frustration mode. Scripture says here, we are a chosen generation. One interpretation says it this way. We are a chosen race. And in this race, in other words, God has decided that it doesn't matter if you're Mexican, black, Italian, Caucasian, it doesn't matter what race you're in, that I have died for all mankind, and everyone can come to me and be accepted in one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And so you want to talk about Black Lives Matter, and you want to talk about all these political things and all of the brokenness that's in the world. They'll never fix it, because when you read the label, apart from God, they can do nothing. Apart from God, there's no healing. And we're trying to fix ourselves without the Word of God. But with the Word of God, we can embrace. I remember just recently, all this stuff going on, the riots and so forth, and there was a black man working at Home Depot, and I tend to be in your face type of guy anyways, but I'm going to blame it on the Lord. I felt like the Lord said for me to go over and talk to him. So I went over to him, and I said, "Excuse me, sir, you mind if I talk to you for a minute?" He says, "No, that's fine." And I said, "I'm going to ask you some personal questions, okay? What do you think about all this Black Lives Matter and all this stuff and the hate that's going on between the whites and the black and stuff like that?" And I actually felt like I shared this thing with him. I said, "You know," and he said, "It doesn't really bother me that much. But if you are a black man, there's a lot of history. Even though maybe it hasn't happened to you, it happened to your family. And so there's a lot of hurts there." And I said, "You know, something I read," I said, "I always use my pastor card. That stops him from punching me, usually. I'm a pastor." Okay. I'm a pastor. Okay. Shields up. And I said, "You know, I was thinking about this thing that Jesus said. He said, the last will be first and the first will be last. And I said, I'm really sorry for what happened to your race. But I believe that if it happened, if you were a persecuted race, that in the kingdom, there's going to be retribution." And he says, "I really appreciate that." And I said, "I don't know where you are with Jesus." And then I shared the Lord with him a little bit. And he reached out to me and says, "Thanks, brother. He's black, I'm white. What made us brothers? What brought us together? Even to be able to speak about our differences. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a bridge builder. You're a chosen generation. We are chosen. God has accepted you no matter poor, rich. We're all in Christ, chosen by God. We're a royal priesthood." You know what priests do? God teaches us in the Word about priests through the nation of Israel. Priests are people that have access to the ear of God. Did you hear me? Priest, you and me are people that have access to the ear of God. We can pray. We can enter into the very presence of God because we have the blood sacrifice of Jesus and speak with the Lord. We are a royal priesthood. You know, I read something Charles Spurgeon said the other day in one of his sermons, and he talked about learning to ask for help quickly, or forgiveness quickly. In other words, somebody hurts you, immediately begin to pray for that person. And the illustration he talked about is, a block of ice, don't wait for ice to get thicker and thicker and thicker, and then finally where you can't stand the strain of the unforgiveness or the hurt anymore, then you go to God and you try to warm up that thing that the enemy has trying to sow into your life. Be a priest and understand that every problem that you've got, you can run to your Father and say, "Lord, I need this. I need help here. I go to God. I have access." And you have access. I said you have access to the Creator of all the world. Are you struggling with something all by yourself? You are a priest. You have a call. You have access. Take it to the Lord. Learn the treasure and the power of having God interfere in your life in a good way. Can you say amen? We are a dedicated, what's this? No, it says, we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation, we are people. What we are to be, remember, you go back to verse 1 in chapter 2. Peter saying to us Gentiles, let it go and go after. Let it go and go after. We are, young people, you are, I am, we are supposed to be dedicated to God. Now, maybe if you're young in here, you don't understand dedication unless maybe you're an athlete or you're dedicated maybe to a certain band or a football team or a school. If you've ever played on a team that's really good, usually it has to do with the fact that the coach says, I want you to adjust things in your life for the sake of the team. It's called dedication. You know, when I was young, I thought I was going to live forever. I did things and I made compromises, even in my Christianity, that I didn't think would matter. And I wish I could go back. I wish I could train places with some of the young people, but still have the mindset of a 65-year-old. I think it's the dilemma of life. But I just want to tell you, young people, that investing in Jesus and investing in reading your word and investing in talking to other people about the Lord is the best investment you'll ever make. Be a dedicated Christian. Young man, young lady, old man, old lady, you guys that are stud muffins out there, whatever you are, whoever you think you are, be dedicated. You're here in the house of God. Be dedicated to God. Fall in love with Him. Then he says, we are His own special people. I don't understand this, but when God wants to witness to somebody, He doesn't send an angel. He sends you, and He sends me. When God wants to move in this community, He doesn't send this smell of heaven and all of a sudden everybody begins to fall down. He raises up a local church, and then He plants His people because you are His weapons. He bought you. He's invested in you. He's dad that wants to work with the kids. And He sent you all over the community because you're His. Are you His today? I'm going to heaven, but really I live my life the way I want to live it. You're all the way back to chapter 2, verse 1. That is, you got to read the label. That ain't going to work. I know I can't use the word ain't. I just heard a nun say to me, you can't use that word. I was raised Catholic. Here's another really cool thing. We are a people. Are you a people or are you a person? Every one of us has an individual attitude that has to be redeemed. Every one of us likes alone time, and we are alone, but yet we aren't alone. I'm a people. I'm not just a person. I am no good without you. And you are no good to God without me and the people. Hear me. You're not going to get there and cut some special deal with God, and you're going to do whatever you want to do and not be involved with people. We are the people of God. And when we own up to that, it's kind of like a young man or a young lady, they get married, but they never turn the dating switch off. They don't own up to the covenant that they've made, and they still function like they were in the world. I have to turn those things off and begin to turn on what's on the Word of God in my life. And what happens is God begins to work in me. I become His workmanship, created again in newness of life in Jesus Christ. So today, when we lay hands on these elders, when we prophesy over them things that we don't totally understand, but God says, I've got that DNA in this person, I've got that destiny for that person, I want you as a church to just be excited, to turn on your emotions and say, God, this is so awesomely cool. This is so wonderful to see the Bible happening here in my local church here in America, that you are still calling men and women, and you, as I taught your leadership, that you're actually setting a torch for the next generation, that you're setting a bridge builder, a link between what God has done in the past in this church to what God's going to do in the future. Can you say amen? I'm excited. Are you excited? I said, are you excited? You just don't I don't believe you're excited. I mean, really excited about the Lord. And, you know, I know I want outward opinions, but you know if your heart is excited or not. So, Pastor, I'm going to just turn it over to you, and you can direct traffic from here, okay? Do you want me to keep this thing on, Kyle?
Yeah, hold on to it because you're going to need it again. A quick funny story, then I'll share some things. Years ago, we went to a big meeting, like big national meeting. Right. And the first speaker was even more dynamic than Dan.